I will rest at the close of the day.
Amen.
And I know their joy that awaits me.
Amen.
When I'm gone, the last mile away.
One more time as Brother Dave comes forward, last mile. Amen.
When I'm gone, the last mile away, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know their joys that are waiting when I come the last mile of the way.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Good to be here worshiping the Lord. The Lord is good to us. The only problem is you and I. That's what's the problem. And we can straighten up ourselves, then we got everything okay going. There are some subjects that probably I get the nerve to preach about. I like some time to preach about the Pharisees. You know, it's something to talk about it, because sometimes you become Pharisees and we don't realize. You know, instead of externally being able to see, okay, I agree that somebody that's a Christian supposed to act one way and so on. But we forget that because somebody is okay externally, it doesn't mean that they are even saved. You know, and the Pharisees and the scribes, they were practitioners of the law, but inside, Jesus called them sons of Satan, generation of vipers. You have your father, the devil. You know, so it's sometimes good to see. I know that when it's good inside, we'll be practicing the same thing outside. But quite a few people sometimes think that, he's not good, she's not good, they are not good. And if you take instances of Jesus, the problem was between law and grace, between Jesus and the Pharisees. How would you like to be accused eating with the sinners? Christ was accused from the Pharisees, you know that? How would you like to be accused when you spoke down to the woman at the well? You know? You look at him, look, he's speaking to her, you know? And I think sometimes when people do that, it shows God's not in them. I don't care who they are. You know? It's time for us to raise above that and let the Lord work in our hearts. We do religion, but unless God is fulfilling it, we'll not be able to hold it to the end. God has to do it. God has to do it. And absolutely God. And if we, people say sometimes, I'm not going to let it go. You let it go and see how God takes care of it. And there's a tape by the title, To Let It Go. And we have to learn these things. Now, have been studying about the attributes of Christ, or the God, Jehovah. And the question is, why do we get in the attributes? Why? And now we see that when we play the tape or study Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, which was one of the most critical tapes that Brother Branham preached. And I remember what Brother Hickerson said. There were about 600 people in the audience, message people. Brother Branham opened his hand. He said, I got that many, about five in there that know what I'm talking about. So once, and we start digging into the subject, Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, we have covered the subject some ways, and we know that Christ in you is the hope of glory. It is not because you belong somewhere. It's not because you think you know this, you know that. You can memorize your whole Bible. You can memorize all the tapes. It does not mean that you are saved. Salvation is a relation between an individual and Christ. That's it. Now, if you remember well, Brother Branham was speaking of the Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And in paragraph 61, he says, in him was to be Son. In him was to be a Savior. In him was to be a healer. All these great attributes that we already expressed, they were in God. So if you see what was in God, and you understand that God is working his way to establish his relation with man until the final thing, that Christ in you, the hope of glory. At the tabernacle, we see him dwell among Israel. He comes down with the flesh. We know that he was among the people. And now his spirit comes back to the church, and his spirit is inside the individual. The individuals with the spirit of Christ put together the church of Christ. Do you know that? And there we study something that I have to go back and redo it a little more in depth, calling an election, and the tape didn't turn out right. Because many have been called, a few have been chosen. When we talk about chosen, it's out by the word. Not because of you saw a discernment, because of any sensation, because of anything. Christ, which is the word, calls you, and you and the word become one. Christ dwells in you, and you are ready for eternity. That's how it is. On the following paragraph, 65, Brother Branham says, he says, therefore, he says, the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, is the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had, one purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. In all the acts of believers, so on, that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And one more thing that he mentioned that was kind thing that you have to register to remember that when you study. He spoke on paragraph 101, and he said this. He says, therefore, if any Trinitarians here would just let yourself loose a minute. Listen to what he said. You can see the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is not three gods, it's three attributes of the same God. If you understand the attributes, what God is. So I will continue this morning again on the attributes of Jehovah, God, to Israel. And the Lord's willing, Sunday I will be, because it's communion and food washing, and Saturday we have a prayer meeting for communion. The following service I will start covering the attributes of God manifested in the New Testament. And being prophesied in the Old Testament. You say, like what? You say, God is a healer. You know, by his stripes you were healed. God's a Savior. God's long-suffering. God is in you. All these things, I think we should cover them. And then finally, we'll be able to build together the relation of the bride to Christ, the believer in Christ, united as one. We were talking about Isaiah, and Isaiah, of course, is a very, very strong book about the attributes of God. And I'd like, if I can, tonight to cover some materials about the redemptive attributes of Jehovah. We think about redemptive, and we think that we are the ones. But remember, God provided that redemptive power all the way back in the Old Testament. And I like to break it probably in about 5-6 points. The first one is God's love to his people. Number one, God's love to his people. Now, when you look at yourself, and I look at myself, and most of the scriptures will be in Isaiah. So if you're in Isaiah, after the 40th chapter, you'll be very close to flip the pages back and forth. All of us, we look at ourselves and we say, who are we anyway? Now, God, in the 48th chapter of Isaiah, 48th chapter, and the 8th verse said this, "Ye, thou hearest not, ye thou knowest not, ye from that time that thine ear was not open, for I knew that thou wouldst deal very treacherously." And he says, "and was called a transgressor from the womb." God calls Israel and said to them, "You were a transgressor from the time that you were in your mother's womb." So this kind of people need a redemption, right? And you and I need a redemption. And Paul takes the same thing. He says, "We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God." So God's attributes now start working to manifest himself, to try to pull you and me, and I will be giving some scriptures when you go home. Just read them, because you can cover so much materials, but I can give you some scriptures that you can look at them when you go home. Look at Isaiah 63:7 and Isaiah 41:8. Isaiah 63:7 and Isaiah 41:8. So God now starts working his love to the people. And Brother Pinkerton makes a statement which I like. It's not God renew us. You know what? You have to be born again. If anything is improved in us from the old nature, we are improved sinners. We are talking about a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're not talking about somebody that probably fall on the dirt and you wash them up. We're talking about new birth. A person has to be born again, and then the Spirit of God in the man and in the woman keeps them and guides them. Now, with all the faults, with all the mistakes, with all up and down, we have to have our shoulder one to another to be able to say that we hold God's love as much as we can. And if we don't have God's love in us, you know, we don't have to agree with people. If we don't have God's love in us to restore us back to himself, the attribute of God, which is love, doesn't dwell among us. That's what it is. Now, Jehovah's love is free, and we cannot explain it. Try to explain the love of God. The human reason will look at it and say, "Well, God is love, but what's the conditions that you love?" And the love of God was unconditional. Do you know that? No matter who you are and who I am, we class them, you know. This is a bad boy. This is a bad girl. This is that. But God doesn't work like that. He says, "We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God." If you feel you're good, you need to get saved. That's all I can tell you. If you feel you're good, you need to get saved. But in that condition that God has us, he knew us. And we cannot explain his love. You say, "Me, a sinner, he loved me?" Yes. What's good in me to love? It's God for knowledge and election. He pulls you out. And you should dance in the Spirit and jump up and down, because God called you when you had nothing to do with it. You know, God put the desire in you. We give too much credit to ourselves. "I went to the altar. I did this. I did that." Let me tell you this. Unless God pulls you, you go nowhere. So now God looks at this. It's a very clear that we can understand that his election is beyond human understanding. You cannot reason why he picked up this and not this. God foreknew you. And I believe foreknowledge goes with election and predestination. I believe that. But God foreknew me and you before we were born. And here the scripture teaches us on the 48:8, the last part of the 8 verse, "And he said, I was called a transgressor from the womb." That's what you are. That's what I am. We are transgressors from the time that we were in our mother's womb. That's what we are. So we come out, and God foreknew us. He knew, he said, "I love one, I hate the other," before they were born. So God knew these two boys before they were born. They knew what they were going to do. He knew them. And he fulfilled his plan. God needs everybody to fulfill his plan. Do you know that? God's righteous. He's going to give judgment. He needs the unrighteous to pronounce judgment. This is hard things to say. But we have to look at the Word. And you find out that God created all things to fulfill his plan. So we look now and we understand it, that beyond understanding is what God we're talking about. Now, study Isaiah 51:2. Abraham was called, and God blessed him and made him many. God blessed the man. Who Abraham was, you know, was down with the Chaldeans, heathen. And God called Abraham. Say, Abraham, come over here. Oh, you say, Brother David, I was not a heathen. You remember me tell you this. The worst heathens are among religious people. I like one time what Billy Andrews said. He says, some of them, he says, is the hardest thing to convert because you have to unchristianize them first so they can get saved. They think they know everything. They think they are righteous. They can give you quotes. They can memorize scriptures. They can do everything. But I'm talking about a narrow road right now. And God can call him and bless him. We know he didn't deserve anything, but God called him. Now, the love of God is the highest expression of the attributes into the human race. If you take all the attributes, you take divine healing, you take mercy, you take grace and everything, it's the love of God that does it. Take the love of God and then you got everything below. You remember 1 Corinthians 11, you know, the love chapter? You know, if we don't have love, we have nothing. Do you remember the vision that Brother Branham had beyond the curtain of time? He says, without perfect love, you cannot enter. Do you know there are people that they cannot even tell their children they love them? Do you know there are people that cannot tell their wives, their husband they love them? They need deliverance from Satan. They do. Because they are possessed. Now, when we see what God has done beyond the curtain of time when he was speaking, you know, love one another, he said. You know, it's like a storm. Sometimes all these things happen to you, you react, and then you go back to the same love of God. You know, we kick, we fast, we learn. That's how we learn. And God now, by his mercy, he knew these things. So, don't try to improve yourself. You got to be born again. Don't try to measure or understand the love of God, because that's God. Leave it alone. He says, God loves me. What he saw in me, I don't know. But I know he loved me and he'd have done some work for me. I'm not what I used to be. The Lord saved me. I'm going on with him. Pretty simple, isn't it? You try to figure out everything, and then by the time you get through, you realize you're confused. Now, God chose or elected Israel. It's the choice of God. God will pick you up. Now, the choice or the election of Israel is one of the most common thoughts in the prophet Isaiah. He tells the people, listen, don't act like a hitchhiker. You pick up a hitchhiker in the street, he's out in the street in the rain. You say, come in, where are you going? Well, I'm going north. Okay, get in the car. You put your sleeping bag in the back of the trunk. It's raining outside. He gets in. Later on, he tells you how to drive. Later on, he tells you that's his car. We do the same thing with God. You know that? God calls us, puts us out from the street, and then we tell him we know everything now. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I want you to do this. But that's not the way we're supposed to act. So the choice and the election of Israel was from God. You say, why don't you bring the Gentiles? Because I'm just taking the Old Testament prophecy and see the fulfillment in the new later on. Now, in Isaiah 41:8, it says, "Thou Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen." Whom I have chosen. Israel never had to pick up God. They didn't even know what was going on. You go back in the Jewish history, you find out Israel was just pagans. Then God pulled them out. He started teaching them what to do. You say, well, I don't like the law. You remember this, grace fulfills the law and we're under grace, and I know that. But you see, Brother David, what is the meaning of the Decalogue, or the Ten Commandments, should I say? You know, that's the Decalogue. What did God give it? Two reasons. First of all, to know what God is. When he says, thou shalt not kill, means God is not a murderer, right? So what happened? You're supposed to do the same thing, to be like God, so you're not supposed to kill. I'm trying to approach it in a very simple way, the attributes, because Christ, the mystery of God revealed, is so simple, and we can get confused and miss the things. God now, in many other places in Isaiah, he speaks about that. When you go home, read Isaiah 25, the 20th chapter, and Isaiah 49, 14 to 16, you'll find that it was God's choice and not Israel's. The third of it is the calling. You say, Brother David, what do you mean with the calling? He said in Isaiah 41, 8 and 9, I call, he says, them from the ends of the earth. He called from the ends of the earth. Let me raise a little bit above that, okay? God knew what Israel was going to do. He knew them before they were born. He says, where would Gentiles fit in the whole thing? If Israel is the people of God, what about me? What about you? You know, if you watch here even at Abraham's time, before you have the Exodus from Egypt, you know what was the promise to Abraham? He says, in that seed, he'll bless all nations. Not Israel only, but all nations. So God takes a group of people, takes them through the wilderness now, to make a model for you and I to say, and God says, this is your model. This is your example, he says in the Corinthians. If you look at them, that's the mistakes that they make. Don't make the same mistakes. Make sure you're from another spirit. It's not friends that the people brag about it. I mean, the message I came out of denomination, I did this. That's wonderful. But we're in the process now to have God, to unite God and us in one spirit, so to be ready to make the rapture. Coming out is wonderful, but if you don't take the preparation time like Israel did in the wilderness, then we're lost. We came out in vain. We have to raise up above these things and say, Lord, are you working in me? What's all about? What am I supposed to be doing? I don't understand all these things. Please be merciful to me. And you keep on going and learning every day. You know, God can call, let's say, men and women that they are not probably your standard the way you look at them. A man can walk out of the church and smell cigarettes, right? The first thing sometimes people look at him is, stinks, that man. That man doesn't know any difference. Or you say, he's supposed to leave his cigarettes as his cigarettes are out, but he smells his clothes and everything. But if you won't go to Isaiah, he tells you and the people of Israel that you, from your womb, the mother's womb, you were a sinner. You were no good. What do you fuss about the man? We're not going to compromise our standard because of that man. But we're not going to throw out the man. Because that man, I was so glad to see, I mean, Sandy's sister Gail's friend, Sophia, very receptive young lady, very nice, very, very polite to me. So, I know she didn't think an experience with the Lord looks like, but I cannot judge her. God has to reveal to her. So you cannot just say, sister, you're no good. I'll give you the service, what is the time, or souls that are in prison right now. You knock the poor sinner on the head. He has no chance to repent. And I'm telling you one thing. Those that know these tapes, probably they need to get saved. Our first priority is salvation by the blood of Christ. We don't want to prove sinners. We want people saved by the blood of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's correct, isn't it? That's what we try to do. So now God, after the calling that we're talking about, and I referred to Isaiah 41, 8 and 9, we see that God doesn't change. We change. You might change from today until tomorrow. You say, Brother David, what does it mean change? Example, okay? You walk with a friend, and you have a good time. You talk and visit his home, visit your home. All of a sudden, the whole thing breaks up. He says, he, she, or them, they did this to me. I have nothing to do with them anymore. You change. But God's love protects the whole thing. And he cannot change because he's God and he's love. He'll deal with a sinner. He dealt with Israel. Very, very seriously he dealt with Israel. Now you say, Israel is no good. We Gentiles are going to be in the bride. Just remember, and this is a mystery that I have never been able to find out in no volumes nowhere. When Israel rejected Jehovah in Christ, and they said, let this blood rest upon us and our children. How long takes that sin, that transgression, in order to clean the land until God goes back to Israel? I don't know. But I know at the end, God's going to visit the 144,000. Why 144,000? God knew that's how many there are there. That's what he's going to do. So we look and we say, I said, God is going to visit Israel now? Yes, he will. And look what Israel have done to him in the Old Testament. Everything you can imagine. But God, his eyes still on Israel. He said, don't touch them. Don't bother Israel. So God now, can a woman forget her son? The only son. And he says, yeah, you may forget it, but he will never forget thee. Why? He doesn't change. He'll think about you. He'll turn his face from you for just a few minutes. You remember last week we read? He just turned his face from you. And you realize the absence of God. We transgressed the law of God, and he turned his face from us. And what happened? You realize in the mess that you are because the devil takes over. Correct? Because the devil takes over. I don't want to get to Lamentations. I'll get into one of the service in Lamentations. And what happens then? Then the misery begins. Correct? Why? Because you violated the word of God as a man, as a woman, as a child. And when that restoration by the word comes, by the Holy Spirit, then a load leaves you. What's all about? You go to him and you say, he's not changed. He still loves me. What is the problem? It's me. What happened? It's me. I got upset. I fired up. I did this. I did that. I said things. And you know, remember this. When you say things, if it's not according to the truth, we better go back and correct them because we're going to pay for it. I'm telling you that much. People don't even know what truth is. They think they're so super duper spiritual, they walk like they extend the ends of their garment like the Pharisees and don't speak to him, don't speak to her. No, I saw you speaking. God's not God like that. I hope I will never be deceived to fall in the legalistic process. Never be deceived and put up with nonsense. But God now, he doesn't change. There was, now, this I'm not going to get into. But if you look through, God is still going to take Israel with him as his servants. Although if not the bride, because there are Jews that are saved. You will never push them away and destroy them with the rest of the nations. He has a plan for the Jew at the end. God, there's no real separation between Jehovah and his people. Do you know that? And I know about the bill of divorcement to Israel. I'm aware of that. But I would like to read a verse with you. Isaiah 50, the first verse. Isaiah 50, the first verse. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away, or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you?" Where is the bill of divorcement? God is asking, where is it? You know why? God is still tied up with Israel. No matter what you're going to do. A Jew is a Jew. And no matter what you're going to do, God is going to return to Israel any time now. Because God doesn't change. His love remains always there. And I would like to read it and translate it. He says, "Ποιοντο βιβλίον του αποστασίου," apostasium, they call it divorce. Istimi, stand. Apistimi means separate from where I stood. He says, "Where is that bill of divorcement? Where is the Biblion to apostasia tis mitros of your mother?" He says, "O exapestila aftin, whom I have sent." God's questioning about these things. Why? He hasn't changed. Brother David, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to show you some attributes of God that we're going to use them. You say, attribute like that? Yes. If I ask and we're honest, how many fail God? All of us will raise our hands up. Haven't we? And some of our offenses, we don't even know what we're doing. I always support the three highest offenses in the New Testament. Number one, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Blasphemy is not a curse word. It's defaming. Blato and fimi. You defame the fame. Number two, against the blood of Christ. Number three, offenses will come. It's better for you to hang yourself in a stone and drown yourself. In other words, tells you, it's better for you to commit suicide instead of bring the offenses. Where do you stand? Leave it alone. Let God. God doesn't change. God will take care of things. Now, I will give you four scriptures to read in Deuteronomy and a verse that probably you have a lot of conflict when you read it. That's in Jeremiah 3:8. And also read Deuteronomy 24:1, Hosea 2:2-4, and Mark 10:4-12. Now, God has compassion. Do you know that? God has compassion. He looks at Israel with compassion. When you are down and you fail, fine, okay? It's not fine to fail, but you're already down. God doesn't come around and kick you down on the floor. He has compassion for you. Well, you say, "I've never been on the floor." Spiritually, probably you have been on the floor, even below the floor. Correct? Look at ourselves. We have gone to try to see the attributes of God, who God is, because you know what? I need them in the Old Testament, New Testament. Are they for me? So if it doesn't apply to me, I have to find out why. Why God doesn't do that for me? Quite often, we fail the Lord. We're sick, we're afflicted, we've got problems. Any lamentation, what I'm going to study someday, get into that. God says, "What do you come to me for? You pay for your sins." What's that for? Now, in these two portions, Isaiah 46, 3 and 4, Isaiah 46, 3 and 4, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant," he says, "of the house of Israel, which are born," he says, "by me, from the belly, and are carried from the womb. For even to your old age, I am he and even to hoar hairs, and to carry you, and have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and I will deliver you. He is merciful. He said, I want to treat you right. I want to take care of you. And what about if we had a conflict that God is not like that? How would you go back to God when you fail? Tell me. Satan will raise up that verse and point it to you with big letters, boy. This God doesn't want you anymore. You're wiped out, boy. But it's the mercy of God that gets us going. And in my study, some pretty rough cases. Peter cursed the Lord. Are you aware of that? Peter cursed the Lord. But just remember, God used that same Peter and learned the secret of repentance and he preached Pentecost. Now you figure that out. God is God. When you go home, also read Isaiah 63:9 on that portion. God gives free grace. Do you know that? You cannot pay for the grace. It's the attribute of God for you and me. Why? You take grace in expression of the love of God. What about if it was a price for salvation? How many of us can afford it? You know? He said, I don't want your silver. I don't want your gold. I want a broken spirit. We don't even know what broken spirit is anymore. We don't even know. You see, the world today in such a shape that I have convinced myself to go on. But God knows it. God has a plan. And we cannot turn our back to the plan of God. We have to go on what God says. Now, when Moses asked to see Jehovah's glory, what was the reply there? Listen to what he said. Make his goodness to pass before him. And what God has done. And he proclaimed his name, and listen what? The Lord, merciful and gracious. How do you like that? To Israel. That's Exodus 34:6-7. God is merciful. He's full of mercy. I'm so thankful about these things because I can go and pray before God and know this, that he's no change. I know his love. I know his attribute of love is reflected into grace. I know his attribute is reflected to whatever his children want to have. And let me give you one of the greatest things. Paul refers to that in Hebrews 10. But I'll give you the Old Testament. Go with me to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. The 24th verse. Let's go to the 25. I, even I, am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Do you want a bigger verse than that? That's a copy of what you find in Hebrews. The same attributes of God. You know what? He forgives. He redeems you back. What's a redeemer? He pays the price for you to come out. And you say, what is the price? He paid everything that you need at the cross of Calvary. Nothing else. That's all you need. And when God is dealing with you and with me, let's look at this. When we look all these things being developed in Israel, and then we're going to see God comes in Christ and fulfills all these attributes. And when we see Christ now fulfilling these attributes, he says, I will be in you. Who is I? Jehovah God? The attributes that he manifested? He make the road? We are in a side sometimes, a give me side. Give me, give me, give me, give me. But the gospel has two ways traffic many times. Jesus said he went to the cross, correct? He said, take up your cross and follow me. Oh, no, we don't like that. Let's clap our hands to feel good. But he says, take up your cross and follow me. Oh, Lord, oh, I was supposed to be so happy and a big smile and so on. They will persecute you, he said, your own household. Well, I don't like that. I mean, let's sing a song. Forget about it. No, it's the Word of God. It's about your enemies. And you read that Paul, he dealt with Demas. He forsook Paul. Other men that forsook Paul turned their back to him. They beat him up, stripes and everything. And when they beat him up, they threw him in the water and everything. He's always, I carry my body, the crucified Jesus. So what happens? That Spirit of Christ is leading you step by step to the mystery of the revelation of Jesus Christ, leads you to the cross so you can be dead to yourself so Christ can live in you. It's an amazing revelation when you go to 1 Corinthians 15, if I can find it. 1 Corinthians 15, there looks something there that we so easy bypass it. Speaks about flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I'm looking for the verse that speaks about those that are dead in Christ shall rise. It's a verse that, pardon me? Or death, where's the stem? 52 might be closer there, Lisa. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not sleep, but it shall be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. You remember that? What happened? You know, the trump shall sound, the corruptible shall, and this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality. Who are the ones that are going to do that? Did you see he speaks about sleep on the 51st verse? A Christian doesn't die, he sleeps. So now what he said, in Romans, he says, those that are dead in Christ. Or people says, I die and I believe in Jesus. No, no, that's not in it. You know what it is? You are dead to yourself from the world, the things of the world. And you are nailed to the cross. You are dead. You don't live anymore. But Christ liveth in you. Because a Christian sleeps. And a Christian dies to the world, the things of the world. A Christian is dead to the world, the things of the world. That's what we're supposed to be. To be able to raise up with him. A mystery of the resurrection. So all these attributes that you see that we're just touching, when I get to the New Testament, I like to get a little more detail. No wonder Paul speaks in Corinthians who have communion Sunday. He looks at the individual. He says, now listen, he says, don't take the communion unworthy. That's the reason that there are many sick and afflicted among you. They die, they sleep. You remember that? He didn't speak about the unbeliever. He speaks of the believer, because a believer sleeps, a sinner dies. He says, that's the secret there. Watch yourself. Why? Because in that body, we're supposed to be nailed at the cross with Jesus and daily to move closer to him. How much we read our Bible every day? People will read novels, read magazines, read newspapers. What about the Bible? It shows where our heart is. That's what it is. Let's put God first. If this attribute of the Word is not studied, you know what people will do? We'll look for a verse to argue that they're right. I have no time for these people. Leave them alone. I'm not going to argue with these people. You know? You cannot take the complete thing. together. Because you got to go from Genesis to Revelation to know what he's talking about. Legalism, I did this, I did that, will never take us nowhere, but it will destroy us. Because I was talking to Brother Pinkerton, in fact, he brought it up, something. Listen to this. Legalism relies on the flesh. A spiritual person relies on God. Legalism will kill you. Will destroy you. Why? You try to hold God and to fulfill God by the power of the flesh. Do and don'ts, do and don'ts. That's not God. We know what we're supposed to do. A man said one time to me, he said, how much do you preach about women's hair? I said, I don't. I said, they can't read the Bible. If there's any issue, we talk about it. Correct? I mean, there are other things to discuss. We know what we believe. I'm not going to stand here every service and say this, 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 and that. Because you can fall from grace to legalism. So God's Spirit now is in the Old Testament preparing us now. And don't think that I'm talking about the New Testament. I'm going to put a line on Malachi 4:6, and now I'm going to deal with Matthew to Revelation. No. Remember, there are prophecies of the Old Testament that we can see them very clear of the attributes of Jehovah in the New Testament. Read Isaiah 53. By his stripes we were healed. What is it? The attributes of Jehovah, a healer. And I hope that we're moving together in that, because I'm going to cover probably at the end a couple of three services on Christ, the mystery of God being revealed. That's why the key word in what Brother Branham preached on Christ, the mystery of God revealed, is from the book of Colossians, to have preeminence over all. You remember that word? To have preeminence. What is preeminence? He can be in you. There's nothing else in you but Christ and him crucified. So he is all and all in your life. And I like that, because that's what we're moving to, step by step. The people are getting blind. If you say, Brother David, what direction the fellowship supposed to follow? I'll say this, the attributes of Christ to be revealed, to be manifested in all of us. And to see the Holy Spirit dwell in us, that we don't do them by the power of the flesh,